We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 493. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Well, we had another short break there as I was sick again. It's been like a rough ride. Anyway, I'm glad we're back. And we've got lots to share. Plenty. Oh my gosh, we were just joking. It's almost an AI episode. Which is really not surprising since that's taking over our lives. With that said, why don't we jump right into this? This is some non-SEO news, but it's about Google. It says, Google erases promise not to use AI technology for weapons or surveillance. How surprised are we? So do tell. What's up?
Yeah, well, first they removed their don't be evil. So you knew when that happened, more bad stuff was going to happen eventually. But originally published in 2018, Google's AI ethics policy has now been updated. Originally, when they published it, they promised that they would not use AI to pursue weapons or other technology intended to injure people and also not to use it for surveillance. Well, they've stepped back on that now and removed that language. And I guess they're going to surveil and attack us now. I don't know. But they are definitely leaning in the direction of evil. So there we go. Who knows what's to come, but they're not playing nice anymore.
More reasons to have such belief in mankind, huh?
It's a scary time with AI right now. It really is. And I don't know, using it for warfare, which, I mean, obviously it's going to happen, and they're going to sell to the highest bidder if they develop the technology. Not just Google, but I mean anybody in AI, so...
They must have been tempted pretty hard by the governments. They're offering them a lot of money to use some of their tools.
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger just went back in time and asked them to remove it. I think that's what happened.
Could be.
The future Terminators will thank them.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, now we're jumping into the SEO news finally. So report is that Google AI overviews are killing click-through rates. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot about this. This is a study by Seer Interactive, which shows that the impact of AI overviews is having on click-through rates for organic search and paid ads. It appears That's a big issue. Organic click-through rate, where AI overviews were not shown, was about 2.68% to 3.97%. That's pretty good. That's about normal. When AI overviews were shown, it went down to 1.41% to 0.64%. Now, yeah, this is organic, I should specify. So that's anyone just using a normal search and there's no paid ads there in the way or anything. Now, if paid ads are there, paid click-through rates were where AI overviews are not shown, were 23% to 17%. Pretty good, right? That drops to 8.76 to 6.56% when AI overviews are shown. So, and the other issue too is that those AI overviews aren't leading to click-throughs to sites very often now either. Now, it does depend. If it's a very simplistic answer, then no, almost never do people click through to the site. If it's something that's more in depth and it's by an influencer or by just written, frankly, with a great deal of detail and there's more to learn, they have a better chance of getting click throughs. So do keep that in mind. So having fantastic articles and writing them in the way that AI likes, there's a lot to be read about that. We'd have to maybe cover that in an episode, and perhaps we will. Then that is going to work for you. You know, make sure that it's solid, has a ton of great content in it, and really just gets right to the meat of the issue, as well as answering some of the secondary questions, I guess is the simplest way to put it. Anyway, the study looked at about 10,000 keywords in the top 20 with informational intent. Reminder, that is informational intent, which is when someone's looking for information about a specific topic, like how to bake a cake. So what does that mean? Well, if it's, the other intent, the commercial intent. If it was commercial intent, that's an entirely different type of search and could have entirely different stats. So this isn't the end all and be all that. This does not represent every type of search intent, but it is something that is a bit alarmist and in a justifiable way. Wow. Our AI is going to have a fun time trying to interpret everything I just said.
I think I understood you. I think we're good.
Gosh. Okay. That's what happens from being sicky for so long. Still got it. Anyway. All right, next up, how to track click-through rate in Google Search Console for AI overviews. This is right up your alley.
Yeah, so this is just kind of a fun little thing that was found. So in the stuff Ross just talked about, in that article at, was it Search Engine Roundtable, Barry referenced this post from Glenn Gabe, and Glenn had posted this to X, where he said, Google Search Console data for AI overviews is nearly impossible to view, until now. The catch is, though, that your site must have a manual action. So if you have a manual action against your site, it's kind of a loophole in Search Console, because what's happening currently, at least, sites with manual actions are still sometimes appearing in AI overviews. So when you see data in Search Console and you have a manual action, there's a strong chance that that data is actually a result of AI overviews. Makes sense, right? Clear as mud. let's see here. So Glenn actually there's a post that'll be in our show notes. If you want to know more about this, definitely check it out. But essentially, by visiting the performance report in Google Search Console and filtering for pages or directories on your site that are impacted by a manual action, and then selecting the date range for a period of time when the action was active, the data you see will relate to AI overviews. So it's kind of a loopy scam hole. What the heck? I heard it and I was going to not, I couldn't not go back to it. This is a blooper episode.
No, it is.
What was I even going to say? Check out the post. Check out Glenn's post. And you'll see it in the show notes. It's really quite interesting. I don't have any clients that have a manual action, so I can't even test this.
Oh gosh, thank goodness.
I'm glad we don't, but I kind of want to try it. But, you know, Who can we give a manual action to? I love all my clients. If I didn't love them all, maybe I could do something evil. Not that I actually would, but
yeah, we would just take that out of our ethics and go for it.
Let's take it out right now. Oh, look, be evil. Look at that. Okay.
Oh dear. All right. Well, this happened. I think I was just thinking I should check our prediction episode, but I think this happened sooner than I expected. ChatGPT search, which originally launched in October, and then was made available for all users when they signed in, is now available for anyone. You don't have to log in anymore. You don't have to have an account to use ChatGPT search. So that's interesting. I think I was predicting mid-year, maybe second quarter. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's fast. I mean, I guess that's just it. Everything's coming fast. And I kind of predicted it would take longer because of the absolutely immense amount of computational power and, well, frankly, just power that it would require to open it up to everyone. And the lack of, you know, login data and all that stuff. But little do I know, they're going for it. And I guess they're just going to ramp up as they get busier. So good for them. They're having a hard time competing against Perplexity, apparently. And that's quite interesting to see that. Perplexity is a great search engine. I'm really impressed with it. And I'm glad that they're eating away a little bit of Google. So we'll see what happens there.
It's going to be an interesting year. Like, where are we going to be at next year? You know, it's just coming crazy.
It's really difficult to tell. Yeah, I agree. All right. Google guidelines warn of significant scrolling on recipe blogs. What's this?
I kind of love this. And partially because we were cooking something the other day and I found a random recipe for El Pastor tacos for the beef. I was barbecuing the pork and... I'm rambling, but I had to scroll down forever to try to find the ingredients. I just wanted the ingredients on the marinade and I was going crazy because there was so much stuff. Well, that site's one of the ones that's going to be hit by this, I think. So that's good. So what they're saying is Google has updated the quality rater guidelines. This was back in the end of January, January 23rd. And they added a section for recipe sites that essentially states that significant scrolling is not good. And recipe sites are typically the worst for scrolling forever.
True.
And so in their the guidelines for low quality justification, they have a large quantity of prominent filler makes it difficult to find the helpful main content is one item. And the other is ads, supplemental content, and filler main content distract from helpful main content. And so if you're seeing, well, I'm just going to read this. This is a quote from the guidelines directly. Well, so was that, I guess, but says the primary purpose of the page is to share a recipe for butterbeer. Well, helpful main content, such as the ingredients and information about butterbeer, are at the top of the page. Significant scrolling is required to find the actual butterbeer recipe. The jump to recipe link itself is difficult to find. So that's an example of where it would be justified to be low quality. The actual page has a large amount of content unrelated to butterbeer between the butterbeer ingredients and the recipe. The page has photos and reviews of many other unrelated foods at Universal Studios. In addition, ads and SC, significant, oh, what does SC stand for again? Sorry, I copied this. I can't remember what SC stands for. Supplemental content.
Yes.
There it is. Yeah. And interstitials appear throughout, causing additional scrolling to finally find the recipe below. All of the above lead to a poor user experience. So really the gist of it is don't have a poor user experience, even if you have a recipe site. Make sure that jump to recipe link is easy to find at the top of the page. Avoid lots of scrolling. Avoid irrelevant content, excessive ads, and interstitials and all that, and you should be okay. When I read this, we have one recipe client, and I immediately went to his site. Okay, is the jump to recipe button easy to find? Super easy, right at the top, easy. And he doesn't have a lot of irrelevant content. So our client, I think, is going to be great. But if you do have a recipe site, you're going to definitely want to check this out and you know, make sure you're not going to get some manual actions or demotions or anything as a result.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, I can see from a user's perspective, I don't like it either. I hate going to recipe sites, honestly. I will avoid it at all costs because they're garbage in terms of how they're laid out. And it's because these poor people are trying to make money, and it's so difficult now. They're paying, getting pennies for all these ads. They have, it all adds up, right? And I wonder how much of this is, I'm trying to think of a way to blame Google, because I got a feeling there is a way. It's almost like the Google's put them in the position where they have to do this, especially now with AI overviews, where they have to make money somehow. So they're trying to get it out of every which way. But now if there's just a simple jump to recipe thing, well, where are they making their money? I don't know what to do there. It's a very difficult thing. And now Google's going to penalize them with a low quality score because of this. Yet Google's also going to steal their recipe and put it in an AI overview and not give them anything.
It's crazy. It's like, it kind of comes back to the olden days. We'd say, if it weren't for Google, would you do it anyways? And look at any recipe site. And if it weren't for Google, no, most of this content wouldn't exist. It would be the recipe with the instructions and the ingredients, and that would be it. But they have to have the history and why they love it. And because they, what else do you say about all these recipes? You have to write something, right? And And if you don't, Google gets mad. And if you do, your users get mad, which is bad user experience, which is bad for, it's like a total catch-22 situation, really.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I was very clear about what I meant by the ads either. I mean, there has to be a better way to do ads. That I do put on the recipe people. I mean, there has to be a better way to do it without just completely making your site distasteful. Pardon the pun, but it's like, it's just, it can't be done right. It's got to be done better, and that's on them. But yeah, you're right. I mean, all the other aspects of making a page tasty gosh, I'm bad at this, with to Google is, it's because of Google. And now it's just a weird world, and all this is totally Google just manipulating them. And I'm so hopeful we're going to get more competition, because it's out of control now. It's just too much. I'm so fed up with Google.
Google says, we want content. You give them content. We don't want content. Content bad. It's like, well, what do you want, Google?
You know, something you mentioned earlier about how they removed that issue about ethics, about, you know, hurting people and using it for warfare and all this stuff, AI. There was a point when they changed their ethics, and a fairly significant portion of their staff publicly were pissed. I wonder if this is going to cause any of that. If all times, this should.
So I did see something about that, and that was in 2018 when they first created it. And originally, I think about 4,000 Google employees protested, and then a couple dozen resigned as a result. And then I think that's what led to putting that, you know, version of Don't Be Evil, essentially, into their ethics policy. That's why they added it at the end of the day. And now it's gone. So are people going to revolt again? I don't know.
I would have a hard time working for a company that did that. I'm not impressed. Lowers my opinion, I think, of the people who stay there. It's just, ugh. Anyway, whatever. I know we all have our situations, and I can only imagine how well they're being paid. That's going to be another part. How much is that worth, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's jump into some local SEO news in a bit. We're going to take a quick break, though, first.
As digital professionals and business owners, we understand the critical importance of a secure and high-performing website. That's why I want to talk to you about Kinsta, a managed WordPress hosting provider that delivers exceptional speed, security, and reliability. Kinsta's infrastructure is optimized for WordPress, ensuring your site loads lightning fast and ranks well in search results. They utilize Google Cloud's premium tier network and CD3 virtual machines, which significantly boost performance. In fact, Kinsta customers often experience up to a 200% increase in site speed just by migrating to their platform. Security is paramount, and Kinsta provides enterprise-grade measures to protect your valuable data. They are one of the few WordPress hosting providers with SOC 2 certification, guaranteeing the highest level of security for your website. Kinsta's My Kinsta dashboard offers a user-friendly interface with a comprehensive suite of tools to manage your site efficiently. From cache control and debugging to redirects and CDN setup, My Kinsta simplifies website administration. For SEO 101 listeners, Kinsta offers specific advantages.
Their platform is optimized for speed, a crucial ranking factor in search engine algorithms. Their security measures protect your site from malware and hacking attempts that could damage your online presence. And their expert support team is available 24/7 to assist with any technical issues that may arise. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tap. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Fenach. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. We have a lot of great notes we put in there, a lot of the links we've got from the show. It's pretty good. I think you'll really enjoy it, and it's a useful thing to look back on or even search your email for something we might have said in the past shows. So check it out. All right, local SEO news. Google bug caused reviews to drop out of local listings. Now, this has been a while, but apparently you're saying, okay, well, it's been an issue for quite a while where reviews weren't showing up, and it's caused a lot of people to get quite upset. You're mentioning here that on February 7th?
Yeah, so this is a new issue.
Oh,
related to the same issue, I guess. It's a different variation of the same problem. Yeah. So February 7th, Google began showing fewer and fewer reviews in local listings. They just started dropping off. Barry had noticed that dozens of complaints were popping up in all the forums from concerned businesses and SEOs, and it appeared to be a bug, but at the time it was unknown. Well, on February 10th, a Google employee, Victoria Krall, posted to the Google Business Profile help that this is a known issue and they are working to resolve it. Review counts and displayed reviews are affected, but no reviews have been lost. So it's just Google stopped displaying the data, but the data is still there. As of February 11th, which for us, that's yesterday, things are starting to be fixed or people are seeing their reviews come back, and it is not, as far as I can tell, fully returned, but they are in the process of fixing it. So if you've seen all your reviews plummet and disappear, they are coming back. Well, hopefully. Hopefully they're coming back. They're working on it.
Let's see if ours has. No. See, yeah. See, I've noticed something over the years. Like, I've had verified submissions from clients to our Google reviews, and they don't show up. It drives me up the wall. And I ended up looking it up, and this is quite a while ago. God, it could have been a year. I was almost wondering whether it was February 7th, 2024. But it's just been so long, and it turned out it was quite common. A lot of people were finding reviews just weren't showing up, and it's they're so hard to get as is. You know, people are busy, right? They don't. It infuriates me when they don't show up. And again, I've verified these actually happened. These people left reviews. It's not like they just said they did. So. They still got work to do. I don't know what's going on there. I know that it can happen if they have a suspicion that it's fake, but there's no way that's the issue here. We're not doing anything that's not above board. So I don't know what's going on.
I had sort of the other side of that happened to me a couple years ago. There was a business I went to. I can't remember what it was. And I was like ticked. It was like one of the worst experiences ever. So I left them a nasty review in Google. It never showed up. If I look in my Google reviews in my profile and see the reviews I've left, it's there. Like I can see it and find it. But if you search that business, it's not reflected in their review count and it's not published. I've never actually seen it listed. And it does make you wonder, like I'm obviously not the only person who's left a review that didn't appear. And it was a legit review. It wasn't nasty. It wasn't like it was, you know, a bunch of swearing where Google would be like, nah, you can't say that. It was an honest review and well-written review. I don't think there's any reason why it should have been pulled. But it just never showed up ever. And I haven't checked in a while. It's probably still not there. So how many other reviews is this happening to? How many reviews are people getting, good and bad, that are just never seeing the light of day? And why is that? Why? I don't know, but
yeah,
it's frustrating.
They both have a good reason to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, equally, I think. In some cases, perhaps you'd want the negative to show up more, but for the business perspective, both are good. Negative makes you work harder and makes you do a better job of improving your business. I'm for it. And I think if you've got an issue, you need to know about it. And this is a good way to respond because hell, it's airing your dirty laundry. It's good for a business. Otherwise they shouldn't be around. So I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it makes me unhappy. Okay.
I have one more tiny funny thing I have to add to that. Sure. I saw just a screenshot of a review for a car wash the other day, and the car wash got 1 out of 5 stars, and the write-up said, I never go here, I just wash my car at home. They left 1-star review.
I know. I've seen a ton of that, in fact.
Yeah. It's like, you just admitted you've never been to the business. How can you rate it?
Yeah, and there's actually a ton of that on, Amazon's pretty bad, but when you go to Amazon, it says, I haven't tried this product or bought it, but it looks really good.
Yeah, 5 stars.
Five stars. Like, what the? How do you get that in there? It's insane. And I've got a few actually on Facebook. I think it's for Stepforth that drive me crazy. And I've had them try to remove it. I don't know how many times, saying we've got great financial services. Definitely use us. And I'm like, what? What? That is not relevant. Facebook's terrific support hasn't done anything about those.
I didn't know about that wing of our business.
Yeah,
we do financial services. Jeez, I gotta look into that.
Yeah, now it's on the web. Now we're talking about it, so it's gonna reinforce it.
That's the worst, right? I'm gonna start seeing ads for financial services now too. My phone's listening.
The regulatory body of financial advisors or something is gonna call us. All right. So Google search is testing an AI mode. I think they did something like this at one point, at least an AI only page. But anyway, for those that are able to see this test, AI mode has been added to the list of options at the top of search results next to all images and videos. Yeah, they did this at one point.
There was some talk that there was some brief testing, I think in October of, I'll see if I can find it while you're talking.
Anyway, it has been tested before, but it's using Gemini 2.0. And it's open-ended and it's useful for very long-form questions that are not served well by current search results. An example would be a search term like, how many boxes of spaghetti should I buy to feed 6 adults and 10 children and have enough for seconds?
Nobody's typing that on their phone.
No. The search brings up a very long and detailed response according to a screenshot posted by Barry Schwartz. Actually had a great call with Chris Ward yesterday, one of my advisors. She's amazing. WinTheHourWinTheDay.com. Can't say enough about that company and her services. If you ever need anyone to advise you in your business and saving you time and making you more profitable, she's fantastic. I've been using her services for, 4 years, 3 years? I don't know. Every month, and it's really good stuff. Anyway, we had a chat and we get along super, and we were talking about AI, and she is not a typer. She doesn't like, she talks and she's very eloquent and excellent, and her analogies are amazing and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. So I showed her what I was doing with AI, and she said, oh, I wouldn't do that. I just use the voice. I'm like, what? I can't believe it. I didn't even notice it. It's like banner blindness. I didn't realize there was a little button you could press to do voice. Have you used voice on OpenAI yet?
On opening, I don't use it for anything except this podcast. That's it.
Okay. Well, that's got to change. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she just asks it questions verbally. She hasn't put a lot of time into the prompt. She just says, hey, I got this problem. This is what I want to do. And yeah, I need this and this and this. Oh, and it should also have this and this and this and this. And she goes on. She showed me one. And she went for quite a while. And then it just replied with a fantastic answer in audio. You can pick the voice. Oh. As well as showing the results in text.
Oh.
I felt like an idiot.
I do that all the time. I was lying before.
Anyway, I do, mind you, when I'm doing it, I have a very targeted requirement and I'm writing a very concise prompt, usually even before I even put it into OpenAI. But I liked her way of using it and I've started doing it. Admittedly by typing again, I guess, because I'm just faster that way.
And yeah.
I don't know. I use better words that way. I'm not, as you can tell, very eloquent, listeners. So yeah, it's pretty cool. That this question, the longer question you wrote there, kind of reminded me of that. I'm like, you know, that's sort of how she talks, except even more in depth. And the responses are great. Like really great. They even seem to know her style. Because it came up with some suggestions in her response that were very Chris. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And it makes sense. It was her OpenAI system. So maybe it does learn a bit about her. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Google AI overviews now have detailed shopping comparisons. I don't think I've seen this yet. Is this only in the States?
I have not seen this myself. So it must be, I think, who was this, Barry? I don't think this one was Barry. It's probably in the States only, it seems. Yeah, it was Barry Schwartz. He didn't specify. I have not been able to replicate it. So in the example here, I did the example in Google and I didn't even get an AI overview at all, let alone this one. So I think it's only going to be in the States or maybe in select. I don't think it's test. It's not a test though. It's live. So, and people listening are like, what are you even talking about? So maybe I should say what we're talking about. So we're seeing detailed shopping comparisons. So there was one good example, and it was a search for iPhone 15 versus iPhone 15 Pro. First of all, those people should know the 16 is out now, but, you know, whatever. and so when you do that search now, AI Overviews is giving you just like your little snippet with a photo of each phone, you know, a brief summary of, you know, reviews, price. And then if you click to expand it, a huge comparison table that shows everything. It's very similar to what you'd find on Apple's website. If you've ever done that, Apple will let you go in and compare different models and give you a side-by-side view. It's a lot like that. I don't know. Maybe they're pulling it mostly from Apple. They probably are, actually. And so that's new to see this product comparison. So we're not really seeing it with anything else, just a variety of product comparison queries. It will most likely have an impact on organic search traffic, I would think. Barry suspects it would have an impact on product comparison sites and then their related affiliate commissions that kind of stuff. So if you are a product comparison affiliate type website, this is kind of scary. It might pull eyeballs off of your website. So I don't know. I'd be nervous, to be honest with you.
I would too. If they aren't already seeing a drop, I'm a power user of those type of searches.
Yeah.
I'm always looking up tech. It's a bit ridiculous, but like especially headphones. I've got a crazy thing for headphones. I don't know how many headphones, but
you have a lot of headphones.
I do, and I just love it. They're all so different. They all have different feels. Sound stages, it's just fun. But and when you look up a comparison, it's highly dependent on the user and the listener. But there is a lot of really interesting technology based responses, and there's personal opinions. So these websites are big business. I'm sure they are, and I'd be concerned if I were them about this. They're going to have to pay very close attention to what Google likes in terms of the pages that are being used in the actual breakdowns. Now, the other thing too, I think, which is good, is that there's almost, well, I guess unless you're in AI mode, the result won't be big enough. And, they're going to give some high points about the difference between the different phones in this example, but ultimately you're going to click through if you want more info. So that's good. Those pages should get more traffic.
One thing I think that is to the advantage of these content creators doing these comparison sites is, at least with this iPhone example, the data is all raw data, like screen resolution. It's like numbers, but it doesn't give you an opinion of the device. It doesn't give you that hands-on review of which one is actually better. Numbers speak, but not always, right? Maybe the new one has a better processor, but it crashes. I don't know. In that proper product review, you're going to get a lot more detail in terms of what it's actually like. Well, you should. if people are doing their jobs and creating good product comparison content, they should give you that detail and maybe videos of them using it and how to use it and all kinds of stuff. So I think it makes sense to still click through, but a lot of people might not, depending on what they're looking for. So,
and you mentioned video. A big part of the search results in any kind of search like that is video now, because frankly, YouTube is killing it right now. If you're not doing video and you have any kind of a competitive landscape that could use video, use it. It's working like a hot damn. And you see it is evidential in search results. YouTube itself is getting a lot of searches. And what it comes down to is, if you do a great job, people will be looking for you. Hell with AI answers. Yeah. There are specific people I will go and watch when I see their, if I look up a result for, let's say, a type of digital analog converter, a DAC, which again, I love those things. I'm always researching them. I got too many too. and I look them up, and there's a couple people, if they're in the results, I will definitely click on them. I won't care what's an AI overview. So hell with you, Google. I'll go to them. So becoming, showing your expertise, that will win every time. And hey, maybe that'll just land you in AI overviews anyway, because Google can see that. But the fact is, video is killing it, and just being a thought expert is always going to work for you.
What a great segue.
That's my belief anyway. I don't think that AI will ever usurp you in that regard. Fingers crossed. Okay. YouTube citations in Google AI overviews have surged 25%. Well, there you go.
I actually just moved things around while you're talking. It's like, no, this should come next, because you went into the YouTube
world. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. So it's if you're a power user of Google, which we unfortunately have to be, this is pretty clear already. They've surged 25% since January 1st. What? That's crazy.
Yes.
Wow. That's massive. They've increased most significantly in instructional content. I'll see that everywhere for sure. Yeah. Visual demonstrations, verifications or examples, and current events. The actual percentages will probably be in our show notes. I won't bother going through every one of them. The highest one I should note is instructional content, which is 35.6%.
It's huge.
And how-to queries are leading at 22.4%. I mean, that's nuts. Top industries seeing the surge are, and these are important, healthcare at 42%. That's encouraging, I guess. all the way down to education, which is at 3.87%. Anyway, I don't know how to feel about that. But anyway, because you know the healthcare ones are going to be questionable. They're always questionable.
Yes.
And especially the ones that end up leading. You're like, should that really be at the top? Well, check out those percentages if you're interested, or go to Search Engine Land, where the actual title is YouTube Citations in Google AI Overviews Surge 25%. Just wanted to mention that again in case you want to look for it. Lastly, Google Search launches Ask For Me. Ask For Me is a new Search Labs experiment Google announced at the end of January. It lets you use Google AI to call businesses on your behalf to find out what they charge for a service and also find out what is available. It's testing it with auto shops and nail salons right now. Whatever. Once opted in, search for something like oil change near me to try it out. All calls are clearly closed and businesses have the option to opt out. It's unknown at this point if this experiment will fully roll out. I kind of hope not. It's weird.
I think it seems really weird.
Then again, something like this could be totally normalized with AI. And it's going to be weird. I don't know what's going to shake out.
You know, here's a good example of where this might be good, might be really good, is if you've moved to a new, probably country, and you don't speak the language, and you need to call, but you don't speak, you know, if you're, I don't know, maybe you only speak French, and you're in an English-speaking country, and you don't know how to ask, well, you can do a Google Translate, then get Google to call and ask the question for you, and then they can, and, you know, it'd be kind of hard to call in voice and try to translate the call live, so... You know, maybe there's examples like that where it would actually be really helpful for language issues or people with disabilities who can't actually call, like if you're deaf, maybe. I don't know.
And Google will happily provide a service where the answers will be automated to Google.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't have to answer. Oh, there's going to be money everywhere.
Oh, they probably will, right? Like if you're a mechanic, they call you one time, you answer their questions, and then that's just the answer for when anyone else asks that same question.
If you pay for it, yes.
Yeah, if you pay for it.
Or just make sure you're, the smartest thing, which I mean, would be to use the frequently asked questions within a Google business profile, is make sure you build out the common questions and answers there. And then make sure it's updated regularly, and then you should be safer from not having those calls, and people can find the information they need. Or Google can just surface that content, assuming they are fairly certain you've been updating it on a regular basis, which is key to Google business profiles, by the way, people. If you have a local business, keep it updated. Go in there and refresh it. Add pictures of your business every day if you want. It's not going to hurt. It's never going to hurt to keep it busy. It'll feel silly adding pictures all the time. It'll feel silly, but it's what Google wants. It wants you to know that you're loving it.
Yeah.
Just caress its ego. And it'll pay off. It's ridiculous. One of the guys, the father of AI guy, I forget his name, is convinced that AI is already sentient. So there you go. Just consider AI as Google is, it's got ego.
It does 100%.
And all the slamming I've done today is sure going to pay off, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're in trouble. I'd disconnect for a few weeks at least.
Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Vanek, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.